Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Stephan Thomas joins us now on WGN Radio. Hi, Stephan. This is John. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Really good. You are famous for a couple of reasons, but you're also a businessman. You're a software developer and the CEO of a company called, is it Coil, C-O-L-I.com?
Coil, C-O-I-L.
Coil, C-O-I-L.com. And what is that? Yeah, Coil would be a bad thing. What is Coil? What does Coil do?
So we try to make it easier for people who are browsing the web, or if you're consuming content on your phone, et cetera, to pay the creators that make that content. Like today, a lot of content is ad finance, which is kind of annoying to be seeing ads all the time. And a lot of other content, like you have subscriptions for every single website, and it's annoying to sign up for all of those things. So we try to make that a little bit more frictionless. So you just kind of get one subscription, you browse the web, you use different apps, and it's all kind of bundled together. So that's kind of our goal.
So do I put money into an account, and then as I use these things, it pays from that account?
Yeah, basically what happened was, like, I've been working on payments for about a decade, and during that research, we came up with this really efficient payment protocol where you can send, like, very, very tiny amounts of money. And so what we do is we basically just, as you're browsing the web or you're using an app, we send very tiny amounts of money to the creator of that website or that app.
You know, it's not why we called. I want to talk to you about your Bitcoin story, but I just want you to think about this. So the Chicago Tribune has been bought and sold. There's this evil company called Alden Capital, and they're going to buy it and then strip it, and it's not going to be the great newspaper it is. It really is one of the world's great newspapers. It's one of the most read newspapers on planet Earth, the Chicago Tribune. But because they just can't find the perfect way to make enough money, there we go. So great columnists, reporters, and editors are either leaving or might be fired. Who knows? Anyway, I've said that the problem is that too much media is free, and we ought to find a way for people to be able to pay. People don't want to pay, though, $35 a month for a subscription. I think what we ought to be able to do is have a pay-per-click model, where if I wanted to read an article and there's a paywall up for the Tribune, you got to pay $35 to subscribe to read that one article. Well, I don't want to give you $35, but I'll give you a nickel to read that article. So how about we set up some sort of digital wallet, and then all of these companies that are struggling because their media is free can now collect micropayments, but it's a pay-per-click thing. And it would be like your cable bill or a utility bill. You can manage it by your use, and it doesn't have to be that expensive. What do you think of that idea of mine?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. I think one of the reasons that hasn't happened yet is because if you do a 10-cent a transaction through credit card rails, like, most of the money goes to the credit card company. In fact, something like 80% will go to the credit card company. And so we really needed, like, better payments technology to make that possible. So if the Chicago Tribune is listening, we are very interested to work with them.
Yeah, I don't know that they are now. This evil empire's taken them over, and I don't think they care. And I think 10 cents is too high. I think a tenth of a cent might be enough. Or, you know, I mean, you know, figure out what the number is, but I think people would say, oh, no, every time I click, you're going to charge me. And I'm thinking, you'll get used to it, trust me. And by the way, better than that, you still have viable local media and you can manage your bill by not overclicking. But really, if you clicked and it cost you a penny, and I'll bet that would work, it would be worth it to everybody, right?
Yeah, we actually saw this study. This is now from a couple of years ago. I think now a lot of people have flat rates on their mobile phones, but basically people were paying more for their data plan to download the ads than the newspaper was making on the ads. And so it really is just a complete waste and a pretty terrible workaround.
Well, gee, you're a real smart guy, Stephan Thomas. What happened to your Bitcoin wallet?
Yeah, well, we all have our moments, don't we? So about 10 years ago, I made a video to explain Bitcoin to people, because at that time, you know, nobody had really heard of it, and it was this really niche project. And so people felt like there was a need to spread the message to, like, a wider audience. And so I worked with a friend of mine on a video, and there was a kind of a community bounty. People had put together some money, pooled some money together to finance this project. And so at the end of it, we published a video. We won that bounty. I took some of it to pay for the expenses, and there were some left. And so there were about 7,002 Bitcoins left, which at the time that we won the bounty was maybe, $14,000 or somewhere thereabouts. And so I put it aside thinking that, hey, we could use this to kind of, again, spread the message of Bitcoin some more. And then unfortunately, July that same year, I was trying to make a donation from that wallet, and I tried to log in and I realized I couldn't. And I had made two backups. So I ran over and I grabbed the first backup and it didn't work either. And then I had one more backup left. And that last backup was a encrypted flash drive, so a USB drive, which I don't know if your listeners are familiar with that, but it's basically like a portable hard drive, essentially a very tiny portable hard drive. But the problem with this one is that it's encrypted and it has a special security feature where it only lets you try like 10 different passwords before it just completely locks itself permanently. And I couldn't find where I wrote down the password, and so I couldn't unlock it. I tried some passwords that I'd used for other things until I had two attempts left, and I just left it, and it's still sitting there. So nowadays, those 7,000 Bitcoins are worth $350 million.
I think they're worth more like $360 million. I guess, what's $100 million between friends?
That's right.
I mean, the thing's gone up from 20,000 last year to 50,000, something like that now, 50,000 times 7,000. So... you don't sound real upset about this.
Yeah, it's kind of, I have to kind of explain the story a little bit. People ask me that question a lot. And you know, obviously when it happened at the time, I was very upset. I was, I didn't do anything for 2 weeks. I was just lying in bed trying to come up with ways to recover it, like, you know, different hard drives that it might have been on and that I could still get it from, or, you know, anything. And really the thing that was so devastating was not the monetary loss. Like, you know, I'm a programmer, I can always find a job somewhere, right? But the fact that I'm supposed to be this expert, and I completely let myself down, I let the community down, because this money was supposed to kind of to help spread the word about Bitcoin. And I was kind of negligent, right? Like I didn't mm-hmm. take enough care to keep that money around. And so I was in a very, very dark place for a couple of weeks. And then I just got to a point where it's like, okay, well, I can keep going like this for the rest of my life, or I can sort of say like, okay, you know, it's lost and I just need to look forward. And I ended up choosing the latter, and it sort of became this like turning point in my life where, you know, the fact that I kind of moved past this very dark period. Now, whenever I have sort of a moment where like I don't feel good, or I have this big challenge, or I made a mistake or anything like that, I just think back to that moment and the conscious decision to look ahead. And now it's kind of almost like an inspiration in my life.
Well, that's the glasses half full. So anytime you run into a roadblock in life, say, well, this isn't the worst thing that's ever happened. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh about that, but I'm glad that you almost can. It's $300 million. And you know what bothers me about that? I mean, what do I care? It's an interesting but sad story. My understanding is that maybe 18 to 20% of money tied up in Bitcoin is similarly lost or inaccessible. You're not the only person to not remember what their password is or not able to readily access it. Do you understand that?
Absolutely. And I mean, even as a developer who's working on Bitcoin for a long time, I spend a lot of time thinking about how to make wallets more secure and how to enable a mainstream audience of people who are not necessarily very technical to interact with this kind of distributed technology. Because I think having distributed technology like that is very empowering, because you're not beholden to some bank or some corporation in terms of like, you know, how you interact with other people. But on the other hand, there's no one you can go to when something goes wrong. And so it's a very interesting technical problem to solve. Like, how do you make it so that you have the kind of security and things like password recovery, but without a central authority? It's a very interesting technical
problem. Stefan Thomas is on a phone line. Stefan Thomas is a software developer, founder of a company called Coil. We talked about that, but also one of the people who originally did some work on a video for Bitcoin. They paid him in Bitcoin. The 7,002 Bitcoin he put in that digital wallet can be accessed only if he can remember the password. And he's tried 8 times. If you get it wrong 10 times, then you're locked out. So he still has two more tries to recover something that's now worth several hundred million dollars. And that, as I said a moment ago, ticks me off because that's lost value. That's capital that could be spent or used somehow. We could build schools, or you could take your friends out to a nice dinner with that. I don't think just saying digitally it goes poof is a satisfactory explanation. I think that's a flaw with the system. And you probably don't want to dwell then on this, but have people talked to you about ways to figure out what it is without burning those last two passwords? Have you tried hypnosis?
Yeah, so after the story ran in the New York Times, a lot of people have reached out to me. And first of all, I was incredibly overwhelmed and humbled by the response. Like, so many people just even reached out to say, like, hey, my sympathies, or like, hey, I also lost something. I lost my wedding ring. I lost my safe combination to my grandparents' safe, like all kinds of stories like that. And I just feel like there's this, almost like this community, like you say, there's a lot of people who've even lost crypto specifically. So that was sort of the first reaction. And then, of course, a lot of people also suggested things to try. I think hypnosis is probably the most common suggestion, and definitely something I've considered and I may do. Not so much to try to remember the password, because it was a long and complicated password and the whole thing was 10 years ago, but maybe to remember where I wrote it down or any other kind of details that could help me recover it. And then also, like, there is, no security is perfect. And so this flash drive, this encrypted flash drive, it is in theory possible to break that security, basically bypass that pen try counter. The main challenge there is that it's designed to be as secure as possible. So like that bypass in and of itself is not guaranteed. It's somewhat risky. Depending on how complicated the password was, it may not be possible to recover it. But
and it's not,
there's
it's,
still a chance.
It's not Stefan123, right?
I don't know if I want to use one of my two tries for that.
yeah. That's really funny, John. I'll bet nobody said that to him. A friend of mine said that it was on a piece of hardware and that it was tossed out in the trash. It's in the county landfill. Is that true? And is there any chance that you could, I don't know, go through the garbage and find the thing?
I think that's a different story. It happened to somebody else.
That wasn't you, huh? Okay, so it's not physically on something you can access. But you did make an analog copy of it. You wrote it down somewhere. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so what I wrote down was the password that unlocks this USB drive.
Right.
If I had that password, yes, I would be able to get the Bitcoins back. Yeah.
Are you sure you were? This is so stupid, because I know you've thought about all of this. But I mean, you know you wrote it down, and so that copy of that piece of paper exists somewhere, or it's been destroyed because it went out in the trash, something like that?
Yeah, so my best recollection as to where I wrote it down was in my wallet, and so, of course, when I couldn't find it, like, I literally took scissors and I cut my wallet into individual strips of paper, just in the case that it maybe slipped between some seams or something and it wasn't there. So like my best chance is, if I was a betting man, it would be that it fell out at some point as these things happen.
Is my supposition correct? So really, $300 million of Bitcoin value, $300 million you could capture and use, is locked in that wallet and you don't have access to it. If those last two passwords are burnt and used incorrectly, that evaporates. That money goes away. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to think about, because like essentially what happens is there are now less Bitcoin that are available for purchase, right? Yeah. Like on exchanges. And so in some ways, the money kind of goes to the rest of the Bitcoin community, which, I mean, on some level, that gave me some comfort, to be honest. But it's more of a question for an economist to think about how that works.
Oh no, I think it's real simple. That's value that's lost, and I'm that c'est la vie. My understanding is also, though, that you're a bright guy, you're a successful businessman, and that wasn't the last $1 million you had access to. The New York Times, in a story about you, said millions of dollars. Are you financially set anyway? $300 million is a lot of money, but if you've got 5 or 10 million, you're good to go. Are you well off?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of why I have somewhat positive associations to that story, because like at the time I lost the Bitcoins, I was in debt from my previous startup, and I was unemployed because I was spending all my time working on like Bitcoin, like volunteering as a Bitcoin developer. And like, yeah, I wasn't in a terrible place financially, but like I also wasn't in a great place, and losing that money was, you know, a big problem at the time. It was $140,000, which was more money than I had ever had in any other, you know, way. Like I said, it was sort of a turning point in my life. And since then, I've done very well. So I've been very lucky in that way. And part of it was kind of the motivation that I gained from, like, you know, working on wallets, trying to make sure this doesn't happen to other people. And yeah. Like, I joined a company called Ripple, which does a lot of stuff around, like, building the next version of Bitcoin, like the next iteration of the technology. And so a big motivation for doing that was losing those Bitcoins and kind of realizing that, like, this technology as is wasn't ready for a mainstream audience.
It's a good way to put it. Stefan Thomas is this software developer. His company is called Coil, coil.com. I wish you success, and I want to talk to you down the road about my idea for micropayments for media, because I think that's absolutely necessary, and I'm glad somebody like you is working on that. Stefan, good luck to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'll talk about micropayments for hours, so just let me know.
I can, right, I can tell. You have a good day, sir. Stefan Thomas.